Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this week's segment of Live Without Limits. Today's show is Families Can Keep You From Reaching Your Goals. And that is a very important aspect of who you are and where you come from and the family that you grow up in. Because when parents unknowingly or knowingly create a hostile environment in the home and teach the children to be jealous of one another, then unless there is family therapy down the road, there will always be hostility in the home whenever the children are around the parents. For instance, and why communication is very important, when you understand that each person in the family, that it's goes smoothly because each person responds in a certain way to one another. If for some reason one person decides that they want to change and they're not going to let the negativity get to them, then what happens is there is a breakdown in the family communication. For years, because I grew up with a disability, I was always told by my mother, "You're helpless, you're worthless, you can't live on your own, you can't think for yourself, you will never hold a job, you will never live on your own, you will always have to be taken care of." Always very negative, very hostile. Because there were two children with disabilities, they were always being given the negative verbiage and telling how they were helpless. Unless you are strong and can overcome all of this on your own, then you need to get therapy and counseling because you need to learn to improve your communication skills. And one thing that happens is that if the other children in the family think it's okay to criticize one another and say negative remarks to one another, then what's going to happen is that's going to follow through the years. And what I'm going to do here is give you some examples of some things that can happen and how it can create the negativity in the home. 14 years ago, I stayed with my mother for 8 months, and during that time, what happened was that I was trying to sit down and talk to her and tell her what I wanted to do with my career. And, of course, it meant that I needed money to put into my business, but I never asked her one word about business. All she heard was that I wanted her money because that's what she would have been asking for. And therefore, because she wanted to create hostility in the home, instead of talking to me like a mensch and communicating in words and listening to what the person was saying, it's, "Well, explain it to me, explain it to me." And then what happened was she heard what she wanted to hear and she repeated something in the way she wanted it to be told and created more hostility between her children. As children growing up, my mother, coming from the home that she did, was very much a penny pincher. When they built their home, they were originally going to build 3 bedrooms. So there would have been enough bedrooms for everyone to have had their own room or for 2 of the children to share a room and still have an extra bedroom. Well, because my father had a brother who was single, they kept telling my mother, "Oh, well, your extra room can be where he stays." So what she did was she made it into the house into 2 bedrooms. So what happened was then when she had her youngest child, which was the third child, there was only room in that bedroom for two twin beds. So instead of giving her a bed, they got her a couch that was turned into a bed at night until they decided that it was time to remodel the house. And they got rid of her little couch bed. And what they did was they had a couch with a bed inside, a hider bed, and they gave her that room to sleep in because there was no place for her to sleep. And now, in my mother's mind, that was a healthy environment. And she kept telling her youngest child, well, they're going to need to be taken care of because they can't take care of themselves. They're helpless. They're worthless. They'll never amount to anything. So that as we grew up, she internalized that, and then she resented the fact that it was all being put on her head, that she was the one that was going to have to take care of everyone. And my mother was not realizing that it was all going to fall back on her head for how she treated her children and the environment that she was creating for them. And then even as adults, there was always hostility. What I found was for myself that because of the environment that I grew up in, and even while I was in college, my mother would sit there and tell me, oh, you're going to fail. You can't take that. You can't handle that. You're going to fail. As I started to study psychology and mental health, I finally started to build some strength, and I realized that the environment they were creating was a bad environment. Even when I was 12 years old, I understood that, but I couldn't verbalize that. What happened was I remember being hit by my father, going in my room to cry because I was upset, and then climbing out of the bedroom window and running away. And if I'd had some place to go, I would have gone and they would never have found me. And then by the time I was found, I would have made sure that people understood what was going on in the home. I remember being 12 years old and being hit early in the morning and still having to be in the schoolroom when the doors open. And I remember going there and someone saying to me, well, who hit you? I'll go beat him up for you. And I remember saying, well, my father. Well, today if a child came in crying and upset and they said they were hit by a parent, then the social worker would be sent into that home and it would be investigated. At that time, no one dealt with those issues. So what's happening is you have a whole generation of people who are messed up and have lack of communication skills because they refuse to get help. My sister is on antidepressants. Both of them are. Not only that, both of them also have underactive thyroids. Both of them are having to take medications for this. And what I found by studying psychology and mental health was that for me, I had to get away from the family. It was the only way I was going to achieve the goals that I wanted for myself. And the environment that they were creating was the most negative environment possible. Now, my youngest sister was a teacher in special education. You would think that with that kind of background and having two sisters with disabilities, that she would have understood that in spite of the disabilities, they had capabilities. And she would have talked to my mother and encouraged her to teach her children to be independent and live on their own. Oh, no. She just perpetuates what my mother did in the home. For many years, I was on my own, but there have been times that, for me, what I found when I entered the workforce 25 years ago was that there were few opportunities for people with disabilities in the workplace, so I had to create my own opportunity. So what I did was I initially set up my own business, and because I had a counseling background and had taken training in psychodrama, was interested in offering group therapy. Well, since I was living in the South as opposed to living up north where offering group therapy through psychodrama was an accepted form of therapy, it was much more difficult. Plus, when you have limited funds to pay your bills and you're trying to build a business, then what happens is just to pay your bills and keep the roof over your head, you have to take jobs that pay something, or you end up homeless. And I was not getting the support in the home for them to believe in me or try to encourage me to be independent or support me in anything that I chose to do. And I also found for me that because I understand personalities and I wanted to use assessment profiles, that I became a distributor with Inscape Publishing, what is now Inscape Publishing, but at that time was Performax and then Personal Dynamics. Both of them eventually merged and became part of Carlson Companies, and they were known as the Carlson Learning Division, and eventually broke apart from them and have become Inscape Publishing. And how this fits into what I am talking about is that for me and what is going on in the workplace today is that I found that I had to reinvent myself and I had to create opportunities for myself because there were no opportunities in the workplace for me at that time. Today, we have found that employment has changed from what was the industrial age to the knowledge age, and what is happening is that the knowledge is being passed along through the internet. And many people are solopreneurs and offer different types of programs. Some people are coaches, some people are virtual assistants, and even some people are doing the writing for others and the marketing through the internet and passing along or networking to build a list of contacts and clients. There's what people are also doing is bartering out services. So unless someone is strong enough and can get around the lack of communication in the family and find support systems outside of the home, then what happens is eventually that negativity can hold you back. And right now, because of the economy, what has happened is my business has slowed down, and the business that I was doing of fundraising also slowed down. So that put me in the position of having to have been temporarily homeless. And instead of having a family that was supportive, they're very negative. They can't even say anything nice to me. And what has happened was that since I was homeless, I'd had to get everything in my boxes and away from where I was living. So I had temporarily put them by my sister's house while she was gone. Then when I found the place, I took them away. And eventually, I was staying in a hotel for about a week, and then since that did not last, I ended up putting my things in storage there. So I left my things in storage for as long as I could, and then I had to take them away. And by that time, I thought my sister had at least gone back to Florida since she had been staying with my mother because she's now 90 years old and pretty much considered legally blind and has lost most of her hearing. And the only person staying with her was an older sister who's deaf, and for years they kept telling her, you're helpless, you're worthless, you can't hold a job, you can't do anything, you can't, so that she can't put two hands together. And my sister will say, oh, she knows how to cook. Well, yeah, she knows how to cook, but she doesn't measure things. She doesn't use the timer. She doesn't watch. And it's like, oh, I forget. It's not that she forgets. It's that she has never been taught how to do these things. Most people learn by watching other people or by experience. Many, many, many years ago, when I first entered the workplace, I, as a teenager, had never had the opportunity to get together with friends and go out to dinner. So I did not know how to handle the situation when it came time to pay the bill, because at that time it was before you had, or before that people paid by credit cards and long before people used debit cards for payment. So I had put my money in the bank from my paycheck and had used most of the cash that I had, but since I did not carry any big bills with me and I had forgotten to get to the ATM and take more money out, I did not have the money to pay my bill. And instead of just standing up and saying to everyone, I'm sorry about this, but I just went in to get my money and I found I did not have enough to cover my bill. I did not plan this. I am going to reimburse you, but I would appreciate it if everyone can at least help me with a few dollars so I can pay for my lunch. Instead, I said something to someone under the sly, and then he said something to everyone. And yes, my part of the bill got paid, but then what happened was the next day they came to me and talked to me. And it was just simply that I had never had that experience, so I did not know how to handle it. So you learn what you do from experience. And if you don't have the opportunity to learn those things, then what happens is you tend to mishandle the situation when it comes up. Because my older sister is deaf, she always would go to schools for the deaf, but because she was always being made to feel that she was less than a person or an individual because of her deafness and never shown that she was accepted for who she is, then what eventually happened was that when she would get frustrated and angry, she began to internalize it. And her way of internalizing it is to physically beat up on herself. And recently, when I lost my place with the apartment that I had, and I had thought that my sister had come back down to Florida, I had taken my boxes out of where they were stored, and I was going to store them back in her patio so that I could have access to my property and get a change of clothes when I needed it. But what happened was she was still there. So she invited me in, and then she started talking to me about going to a homeless shelter. So when she went back up to go to sleep, before dinner, I just left. I was not going to put up with that, because if I'd wanted to go to a homeless shelter, I knew how to get there on my own. So I went back where I was staying, and it was like, oh, are you going to cut off your nose to spite your face? I mean, look, at least there I had the opportunity to do the things that I could do to help put myself in a better financial place. Because as long as I stay with them, I get put into a negative environment where all I'm doing is being screamed at. And I feel like I don't need to put up with this. Either you're going to show me the respect that I deserve, or I'll get away from you. But the only reason I stayed was because it was like, okay, you know, what we'll do is we'll buy you a place to live and make sure you have a roof over your head out of your inheritance, which is the first time they've ever offered me that. And since my mother got mad at me the last time and had decided that she was going to show me that she controlled the money, and when she controlled the money, she can control me, that she basically rewrote everything so that I was left with $1. And then what happens is now I'm down in Florida staying with my family while they go and look for the house. And my sister's doing all the looking. She's making all the decisions. And I'm sorry, but in a way, I should be included in that. I should have the opportunity to go look at the places. But she's the type of person that she's not going to do that because she likes the control. She likes to belittle everything. What she has done is take over where my mother left off. My mother's now 90 years old and can't see. So she, you know, and she's getting a little bit of dementia. So she doesn't open her mouth to her children the way she used to. But what has happened is my baby sister, who was the one that was told, you're going to have to take care of them, and resents it, and at the same time feels guilty about it, and at the same time mistreats them and wants to walk all, thinks that she has the right to treat them like they're less than human just because she can do it. And then threatens them because she feels like she has a right to do that. Well, what she doesn't realize is that eventually it's all going to come back down on her head too, because when the time comes, she's going to be needing someone to take care of her, and there's not going to be anyone there to do that for her. And it's like, oh, who's going to take care of me? Well, what she needs to understand is if you treat your sisters with respect, then they're going to treat you with respect. She knows that my older sister, for years, when she can't express her anger, she takes it out on herself and physically beats up on herself. So what does she do? She threatens to take and break her plates that she purchased. That she bought. My sister gets a Social Security check and she gets a veteran's check, and she does not know what to do with her money. So since they won't take her out and take her places and show her how to manage her money, what she does is she just goes out and buys clothes for herself, CDs, DVDs, but it's just that. And she always looks in the paper for sales. Well, she's not buying anything of that. What she's doing is she's just buying it to be buying it. And then what happens is because she gets frustrated and angry, she when she's not beating up on herself, she sits there and eats. And then my sister comes up and says and screams at her because she eats. Well, maybe you ought to listen to the things you're saying and the way you're treating her. You know, it's like I happened to mention to someone, well, instead of beating up on her, why don't you hug her? And she's like, and she got insulted that I would make such a remark. But she doesn't understand. When she calls, oh, I love you, love you, love you. Well, you can tell people you love you, love you, love you all you want to, but you're not feeling it. It's not, it's just, it's words to you. It's not a real emotion. If she treated the strangers and her friends the way she treated her sisters, they would all run away from her. And she doesn't understand how that is working out. For years, she was a teacher in special education. And she was really a poor teacher because her expectations of her students was no better than her sister, how she looked at her sisters. But she once made the remark to my mother, when she first started teaching, instead of being the terminology, instead of being developmental disabilities, it was EMR and TMR. And so she taught children who had Down syndrome. She walked into the house and she told my mother, oh, at least he'd be able to learn to spell his name. Well, that's a wrong attitude to take about your students. But so that what happened after 19 years of teaching, she ended up having to be forced to take a leave of absence for a year and a half, and then it took her an extra 3 years after she went back to teaching to put in her 30 years and retire. While she was teaching, she would also work at a retail store and put in 3 or 4 nights a week. Then she would also put in time where she went back to school for several master's degrees. And yes, she did manage when she finally retired to have a nice little income and also have paid off her home. But be respectful of someone who didn't have those opportunities instead of being negative about them. All the friends she has, all she does is behind, she's to their face very sweet and very, oh, love you, love you, love you, but behind their back, all she does is talk about them and complain about them. She became very very good friends with my cousin and his girlfriend and he died about a year and a half ago, and she and Jane are like bosom buddies, and all she does is complain about her behind her back, that she doesn't like, that all she wants to talk is talk about and wants to tell her what to do. She don't like anyone to tell her what to do, and she's going to get her back up when you tell her what to do. And she resents it, but she won't tell her she resents it, but she'll behind her back, all she does is talk about her. And then make stupid faces, like all she wants to do is talk. Well, then why are you running around with her and keep company with her, and except for the fact that you wait for her to die and leave you her money? Because that's very much of what they're looking for. They're gonna, if they feel that you have money and you don't have anyone to leave it to, and they're gonna look to cozy up to you and get real friendly with you, because they're expecting you to turn around and give them some. And that's very much my mother's way of thinking. My mother, when her she had a brother who lived with her mother until her mother died. And after her mother died, he married someone that he had been going out with on the weekends. And this woman happened to be a much older woman, but for him, she was right for him, because he had always been told what to do, whether it was by his mother or by his sisters. He always asked someone else to make decisions for him. And originally, before he got married, when he had his will, he had basically left money to all of his nieces and nephews, because he did not have any wife or any children to leave it to. So then what he did was, after so many years, and after he had had a nephew as the executor of the will, and after the nephew's father died, he had turned around and had the nephew taken off of as being executor of his will, and then he basically changed his will so that it was left to his wife of 25 years and to her nieces and nephews, which he should have left it to everyone in that case, or just left it to his wife. But at least with her, he had the opportunity to travel and to do the things that he never had the opportunity to do while he was living with his mother. And his brothers, and especially his sisters, were not going to encourage him to travel and enjoy his life, because they were waiting for him to die so they could get his money, because they figured he had no one else to leave it to, so he would leave it to them. They have ulterior motives. And what happens is, and what I'm going to do is digress here, because what my mother did in bringing that negativity into that home was because it was brought in. She grew up with hostility around her, because my grandmother fought with my grandfather constantly and screamed and yelled at him and cursed at him constantly. Because she screamed and yelled and cursed at him, he would get tired of it, and he would take off and travel around. And then he'd come back at the end of a year or two, after a while of traveling, because he'd get tired of traveling. And he'd stay with her for a little while, and then he'd get tired of her bitching and cursing and fighting. And this was something that went on constantly. And what happened was that when my mother married, and all my aunts married, and several of my uncles married, none of them really married because were in a relationship that was based on love and respect. And what has happened is that many of the my even though none of my aunts and uncles were have mental breakdowns or acted out, it was passed into the next generation, and it was showing up there that there were problems within that environment, and it was passed along that for many of them there was a situation where one of them started exposing himself, and the healthiest ones were those in those children that basically broke away from the family. That there was something that I had to do, and I had to stay away from them for many years. And every time I came back, it always was a situation where it was a hostile, angry environment. My sister wanted me to go and file for Social Security and VA benefits. I did it because not only that I'm up there in age now and have had a difficult time with it, but I've had, you know, even though the disability has not gotten worse, I've had other injuries that have been caused due to the disability. Plus, you know, employment-wise, things are much more difficult, and my business has slowed down. So this would give me an opportunity to have some income coming in, let them purchase me the condo they want to purchase me, and then I can have the fees to pay it. And then, excuse me, as my income grows from the business that I'm working, or as things turn around, then I can start getting the extra little things for myself that I need. That for a while there, I was living in a government complex. That particular government complex today does not exist, because the property was, which was owned by the state, was sold off. So and the apartments leveled, because they're going to be building little mini mansions there. And the property was all sold off before the economy went south. So right now they've leveled the apartments, and that's kind of the way the property sits until the economy turns around. And they'll start building again. So what has happened is that where the housing is for people with disabilities has become less and less, because the government has had to sell off this property so that they can keep the governments running. And to do so, they've sold off property that had value to it before the value went down. What we're seeing is, and why I'm talking about this, is that what I want to do is go back and say, for me, I had certain goals in life. I had always wanted to be independent. I always wanted to be in a very loving relationship. But because of the home environment that I came from, it was a learning process that's taking me years of overcoming. And I have found that the best way for me to deal with my family is to stay away from them. And my sister, whether she realizes it or not, she because we both happen to be living in Atlanta, and she does not want me there. Part of the reason that she is willing, and since my mother made her the executor of her will, and she has her name on all of the bills and all of the accounts, then she can get my mother to do whatever she wants her to do. But she's trying to act like she's being put upon. And there's an underlying factor to everything. If she does not have me in Atlanta, then she doesn't have to worry about whether or not I'm going to show up on her doorstep. And I did not choose to show up on her doorstep because I know what she's like. I know that she's not a nice person. Whenever she comes and stays with my mother, she resents that my older sister is living here, and she knows that my older sister can't express her anger, and so she will physically abuse herself. And then she only enhances it by pushing her and making rude remarks to her. Because instead of saying, oh, I love you to all her friends, why isn't she going and hugging her sister and saying, we need to get family therapy. We need to help each other. We need to communicate in a way that we can be supportive of one another. She can't say she loves you because she doesn't love anyone. She doesn't know how to love because we grew up in an environment that was very cold and insensitive. And sitting there and saying, oh, you go to your therapist and I'll go to mine, a therapist will help you understand why you react the way you do in a given situation. But the only way we can overcome these issues is to have a therapist who works with us as a family so that we can air our anger and where it comes from and deal with it. If you don't learn to overcome these issues, then you will always have these issues in your personal life, and then you will not be able to overcome them. Intensive therapy helps us deal with things and helps understand why we respond the way we do in given situations. I found for me that the best way I could deal with those situations was to stay away from my family, and I've done that a lot of times. When I stayed with my mother 14 years ago, and all I was trying to do was tell her what I wanted to do with my business, and she heard what she wanted to hear. And then I remember going to a family therapist and telling her what was going on in the home and how I felt about the way I had been treated for years and what that environment made me feel like. And so she told me to think of it as a homeless shelter, only a hostile environment. And that's because my mother only understands hostility. My sister only understands hostility. So they like to create that hostility around them. And then what she does to her friends is, oh, she's very sugar-coating friendly to them. And behind their back, all she does is talk about them and talk about their faults and talk about how they're living. You know, if you don't like someone, tell them to their face how you feel. Don't go behind their backs and complain to you. I guarantee you if they heard about how she talked about them behind their back, they would have nothing to do with them. My cousin came over to dinner the other night, and she was bringing the chickens, and she also wanted to bring some shrimp. So she went out and got it. She told my sister she was going to bring it. And all my sister kept saying was, no, don't bring it, we don't need it. So she brought it anyway. And she was all sugar-coated, oh, that's okay, to her face. And then all she was doing behind her back was saying, well, that's not nice to do something that someone tells you they don't want them to do. I think that was uncalled for. But, you know, if you feel that way, tell her to your face how you feel. See how she feels about it. And all she's doing is, they're all so friendly. They like, she goes shopping with her. She runs around with her. She worked with Saks Fifth Avenue, she still has a house account, so she gets a discount from them. And she'll go with her and she'll get the discount. But at the same time, all she's doing is setting herself up for a situation where eventually she's going to find out that she's going to feel like she was taken advantage of. Because meanwhile, our cousin's girlfriend, that she's so friendly with, she has a brother and she has nephew. She has a nephew. Who's saying? I mean, she comes over and she goes, "Oh, I'm to my mother, I'm your long-lost daughter. Well, that's because she doesn't have any sisters that she can do things with, so she runs around with my sister. But what's going to happen is that sooner or later she's going to realize how two-faced they are. Is she really going to want to follow through or they're going to find out that being her best friend is not going to get you what you really want. And what you need to do is show someone that you really care about them. If you really, truly care about them, you'll show it in actions. You won't be showing it through words. Words say one thing, and your physical expression and your body language says something totally, totally different. They need to learn that what they're doing is something that is very, very two-faced, and they need to learn how to communicate and say the things they really feel and be honest. Be honest with themselves about why they do things, because if they're honest with themselves, then they would be truly honest with the people around them. And she's got to be honest and learn that she's got to respect her sisters. Sitting there and screaming and yelling at them and telling them how she's fed up with them because they don't do what she wants when she wants it, then that's being mean and that's being petty and that's creating hostility so that it gives you a reason to say it's okay that you can wash your hands with your sisters, because that's what you really want to do. So you're creating the hostility and the environment. My older sister is deaf, and through the years what has happened is because she has no life, because she doesn't do anything with anyone, because she's never worked, that all she does is she talks about things that happened in the past. And then when she gets angry and frustrated and finds it difficult to deal with things, then they don't want to hear what happened in the past. And then, so they keep telling her that. And then she gets frustrated and she starts beating up on herself. And when she starts beating up on herself, my sister threatens that she will go and break her plates and break her cups. Now, that's just perpetuating the whole hostility. And all of that is a deep-rooted jealousy, because my older sister lives with my mother, and my youngest sister would love to get rid of her two sisters and then have her mother to herself. And, she run around with her. Part of that's because they're very much alike. They think alike. They are users and takers. And because her sisters don't have any way that she can use them or take advantage of them other than screaming and yelling at them, then that's what she does. She's only perpetuating what went on in the home. My mother could have encouraged her children to make a life for themselves, to get an education, to get gainful employment. Instead of doing that, she used their disabilities to hold them back. One of the reasons that I have been or had some success in my personal life is that I finally opened up and I told her, you can't tell me what I can or can't do because you don't know what I can or can't do. And then once I went out and got a job on my own, went to live on my own, I knew that there was no way I would ever go back in the home to stay with her, because then she would always tell me, oh, you're a failure. You can't hold a job. And this just proves that you can't hold a job. And so there was a setback in my independence. That doesn't mean that I can't hold a job. For many years after that, I went from job to job to job until I landed a job with a company that did fundraising. And then I stayed with that for 10 years until the economy went down. And when the economy went down and you couldn't make a living doing that, then having understood and saw what was going on in the workplace and how the workplace was changing and where the workplace was moving to, then, and because I also had a background in rehabilitation counseling, which is employment counseling, then what I have done is set myself up now as a career entrepreneur, lifestyle trainer, coach, and am in the process of establishing a career expo teleseminar where what we will do is teach people how to change their mindset about what a job is and how they can have employment at home. Today, what is happening is companies are changing how they are hiring people. Rather than having large offices and paying for computers and paying for phones and paying insurance and paying a salary plus having the overhead of the office, they are hiring people to work from their home and providing them the computers and the phones, and what they're doing is having them telecommute. Because today with technology and computers and software that companies can purchase, then it allows them to funnel the calls that come into the office into each individual's computer in the home, and then they have a certain amount of time to handle each call, and then they have to move on to the next one. And it allows the individual to have flex time. This is where businesses were moving for years in the workplace, but now what they've done is move it into the home. And this also allows them to cut, even though they're paying the salaries and they're paying for the computers, they don't have the overhead of paying the rent on the building. They don't have the overhead of paying the rent on the exorbitant rent on lights. And they don't have to worry about paying for electricity, so, or phone service, because it's in your home. And it allows you the opportunity to have a tax break by working from the home. And then you can tell them what days you want off. And it gives the individual a lot of time to build some movement and employment. My sister, for years, worked as a teacher, and she had a computer and she had software that she kept records of her students on. So what happened was when she quit teaching, she had purchased herself a laptop. Well, all she does is she goes on the internet to research retail stores where she can purchase clothing from. So she does online shopping, and since she worked in retail previously, she had built up some contacts by working through the mart at the showrooms. And then when she wants to purchase items that she sees in the retail stores, then she goes to the wholesaler and she tells them what she wants. And since they know her from the mart, then she purchases for everyone else. And, oh, she's cooing and coming all close up to them. And then what's going to happen is that she has an ulterior motive for everything that she's doing. So, and then what happens is she comes and she stays with her family, her sisters. She gets jealous of what they have, and her way of dealing with it is to scream and yell at them because that's what her mother did for years. And then she's like, oh, I'm fed up with this. I don't like this. Well, now, if someone is deaf and they can't hear anything, wouldn't you expect them to be in your face if they don't understand and you won't sit down and talk to them and tell them what is going on? I remember even as a child, the only way I knew what was going on was to listen in at keyholes, because we never sat down as a family. We never discussed things as a family. Things were not encouraged. We were not encouraged to read and come to the table and talk about it and think about it. People who are successful in building relationships as adults is because that as a child they witnessed it in the home. the best way for an individual to learn is to have be encouraged and to be told that they were believed in and to be supported in any of the choices they made. The reason I'm discussing this today is to help people understand that if you come from a negative environment, then unless you are willing to change, you are going to create that negative environment in the relationship and your choices in relationships. 14 years ago when I stayed with my mother, I did not come down to Florida to stay with her. I was dating someone that he had some issues of his own, and every year he moved. So what happened was it created an environment where I ended up staying with my mother, and she screamed and yelled at me, and she didn't hear what I was saying, and she didn't want to hear what I was saying. So what did she do? She created and she said what she wanted to say. So it created a very different environment. And what has happened today is now she's of an age where she is dependent on other people, and she's not having them take care of her, and she's not recognizing that the environment and the way she treated her children are why the situation is the way it is today. When you have to remember, if you want to create a good environment, if you want to create an environment where everyone gets along, then you have to talk to each other and respect each other. You can't scream and yell at them. You can't be negative to them. You have to do and talk to them in a way that will help them to learn to respect each other and to respect themselves. If you respect yourself, then you are not going to allow someone to treat you like the dirt under their feet. You are going to demand and want respect. You are going to ask for it. And you need to, one of the ways that people talk about it is they deal with the issues in a healthy way. And what I want to do is spend the last few minutes talking about some ways that you can help create a healthy environment if you only understand negativity. And one of the ways is to look at the things that you hear in your head over and over and over again. And one of the things that I studied was transactional analysis. And in transactional analysis, they talk about the parent, the adult, and the child. The tapes you hear in your head that your parents told you, like you should, write down and you should and complete the sentence based on the things that you remember your parents telling you. Look at the positives, look at the negatives. See where the conflicts are and see how that plays out in your head. And the adult says, I am able to. Write down, I am able to, and complete the sentence on every level and see where you come from and what answers you get there. After that, then turn around and look at the child. The child says, I want. And think of all the things you say to people or say to your parents as a child that you want, that you still, in a way, hear yourself saying. And one of the things children want is they want love. They want their parents to hug them and kiss them and tell them that they love them. And one of the reasons that I find that when I get around my family is that I remember being 18 years old and my father had died and we went to his grave. And I remember sitting there and standing there and crying and thinking to myself, why couldn't you love me the way I needed to be loved? And my mother the same way. This is why when I get around them, I get angry. Because at one level I understand and intellectually that what I want from them is the emotional support. And I know that they're incapable of giving it, but whenever I get around them, it's something that I will always want. And so, yes, there's anger there because they're not meeting a need in me. I think what people forget is Children, when they act out because that need is not being met in the home. And when you grow up in an environment where there is not love and only coldness, then you don't know how to love. So it is important to learn how to love, and you learn how to love by getting yourself in therapy and dealing with those personal issues that you have. You find that children act out many times in inappropriate ways because it was something that was seen done in the home. If a child gets abused by a stranger or someone in the home, then they grow up to be abusers down the, as adults. So that's important to get the counseling and therapy to learn to deal with those issues. You cannot let those things fester, because then what happens is, as you get older, then if you do not deal with these issues, then you will either turn to alcohol and drugs to deal with the inadequacies that you feel, or you will act out and do to someone else what was done to you. So it is important to understand where you're coming from. Communication is a very important aspect of this, understanding why you respond in the way you do. For years, my sister was a teacher because she got pushed into it. Because my father died when she was 16 years old, and my mother kept telling her, you're poor, you have to make sure you can take care of yourself financially. So what happened was that when she went to work, not only that she did a job that was her full-time job, but she had 2 and 3 part-time jobs to supplement for all that. And she's not any happier today than she was then. She's just as miserable, and she's taken out the anger that she's feeling against her mother at her sisters. So what is happening is that my mother made my sister a basket case. She lived with her because she never became independent. She never went out and got her own place, even though when she had a veteran's check coming in because she was her dependent child of a veteran, and she gets Social Security disability because she was still dependent on my and in school and dependent on my mother at the time of my father's death. She has been on it almost 40 years, and she was 20 when my father died, and she will in. That means when she turned 60, she would have been on disability 40 years. She now is to the point where her life is so encircling my mother's. My mother is in her 90s, that I believe that when my mother dies, that my sister will not live long after that, because she has never been able to live on her own. She has never been taught how to live on her own. When my younger sister is not here to do the cooking, it is up to her to do all of that cooking. And she doesn't know how to cook. She doesn't think about it. And then my younger sister, she knows how to cook. But then when she comes here, and what happened was she turned around and had a fight with her, a physical fight with her. And doesn't understand that what she's done is set everything up so that gives her a reason to, and then sits there and screams at her, knowing that she doesn't understand how to act and how to respond in those different situations. And all she's doing is creating and putting herself into a situation where she's justifying being mean to her sister and screaming and yelling at her and being fed up with her. That's what she wants to do, is set herself up in that situation so that she can give herself the outcome that she wants. And then if she could get rid of her sisters and have her mother to herself, then that is something that she would love to do and build on. What I want to do is Since we have now come down to the last minute of the show, I would like to invite you to come back next week when our topic is, are you willing to change with the times? Where would we be today if the caveman had been willing to learn not to learn new technology? Even in the early 20th century, people were reluctant to change. Technology has improved our lives when it comes to lights, cars, etc. But when you look at the computers and how they've made the world smaller, people don't know how to use it for employment opportunities. And what I want to do is also talk about ways to help you improve your opportunities in the workplace.